This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us. We are also very glad to have attorney Blake Harris with us from Mile High Estate Planning. You can check out that website, milehighestateplanning.com. Blake, good to have you again on your show. How are you?
good to be back on the show. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing well. And I tell you, all the conversations that we have really helped me as I talk to friends and relatives and just people that listen to the show, and they say, man, I never knew that. So I'm thankful we get to have you on each week to just talk about this whole matter of estate planning. And you know, there's a saying out there that says very few things go well without proper planning. So let's kind of discuss maybe what that difference is for those that plan and those that don't.
Sure, sure. So I'm going to run the listeners through a hypothetical, I guess two hypotheticals. We've got individual A who does not do any estate planning whatsoever. And we've got individual B who does all the estate planning that they can do to help protect their legacy.
Okay.
So both individuals, similar profile, we'll say married, they have a business, they have a rental property, and both of them, they're worth, let's say, $1 million. So we're going to start with I'm not going to call them client because they didn't do any estate planning, but person A, family A, they've got $1 million. They're going through their life. They're focusing on running their business. They're not looking at the big picture. And then one day they get hit with a lawsuit. They're notified that they are being sued for $1 million. It may be something that went wrong in their business. It could be because one of their children is driving a car that they own, or it could be because of something to do with their real estate rental property. Whatever the reason is, they are faced with a pretty serious lawsuit. It's very scary for them. They have to go out, hire an attorney to fight the case. They're able to get the defendant down to about $500,000. And as opposed to risking losing everything they have, they go ahead and settle the case for about $500,000. They've got no asset protection in place, and they don't want to risk losing everything. They acknowledge they've done something wrong. So they go ahead and settle the case for about $1 million. So all of a sudden, this first individual, their net worth drops to about $500,000.
Okay.
Now, they get older, and as they get older, they forget to or fail to sign a power of attorney documents. They've retired. They're no longer concerned about any more lawsuits. They had to sell off their rental home anyways, so that's not going to be sell off the rental home to pay for the lawsuit judgment. So now they're down to about $500,000 in assets, but they lose capacity. They don't have a financial power of attorney or medical power of attorney. And their three children, they don't get along perfectly. There's a conflict that arises, and the family has to go through a very costly guardianship and conservatorship proceeding. There's probate that takes place after someone passed away, but there's also probate that occurs when an individual loses capacity. And this comes in the form of a guardianship or a conservatorship proceeding. And because there's a dispute within the family and the parents haven't done any planning of their own, this fee ends up costing $100,000, which is not very unusual it's on the higher end, but it's not very unusual for probate during lifetime to run that high. Lifetime probate tends to be maybe $5,000 to $10,000 for an uncontested estate, or maybe $10,000 to $30,000, $40,000 for a contested estate. But for a probate that occurs while you're alive, guardianship and conservatorships, these proceedings are much more expensive. They require reporting to the court every single year. There's ongoing issues that come up. It's kind of like getting a divorce with children, where there's ongoing custody issues. There's ongoing issues fighting with the parents. So the family blows through another $100,000 dealing with probate while the parents are still alive. This brings their estate from about $500,000 down to around $400,000. What happens next? Now that mom and dad are incapacitated, well, they need to move into a nursing home. So the average cost of a nursing home runs about $5,000 to $10,000 per month. There's two individuals. This could cost $100,000 or more in nursing home costs. Definitely not unusual for a couple to spend more than $100,000 in nursing home care. However, for the sake of our example, for the sake of our hypothetical, I'm just going to bring it down to a nice $95,000. So let's say that they get off relatively inexpensively on nursing home care, and they only have to spend $95,000. This leaves $305,000 that the couple still has at the time they pass away. Well, again, they didn't do any estate planning, and so once again, that property needs to go through probate. This is lifetime probate. The kids have already spent all that they can fighting while the parents were alive. They don't even have any money to fight now that the parents have passed away. And the probate goes down relatively smooth. This leaves about $300,000 left to distribute between the three children. Now, the three children, each of them have certain issues that they are facing. Issue number one, the oldest of the three child has actually a disability, and they receive government-based benefits. The middle child is doing okay in terms of health, but their marriage is on the line, and there may be a divorce coming down the road. And the third child, unfortunately, and this is common in lots of families, has some addiction problems, some drug and alcohol issues. So while the parents had $300,000 at the time they passed away, how much did that $300 actually end up in the pocket of the children?
Right.
Well, the very first child, the oldest of the three that's on disability, actually has to spend all of that on their health care until they only have about $2,000 that remains. So that means that $100,000 that was intended for that child gets burned through on health care, and only $98,000 of it gets spent. Only $2,000 remains in the hands of that first beneficiary. The second beneficiary is in good health, no addiction issues, but the spouse is a dud. The second child gets a divorce. The money was left outright to that second child, and the divorcing spouse runs away with half of that. So instead of leaving $50,000 to the middle child, that child only gets $50,000. So instead of leaving $100,000 to that child only gets to enjoy the benefits of $50,000. And then the worst of it all was the money that ends up in the hands of the third child who has the addiction issues. That child ends up blowing through all of it quickly, and we're not even going to speculate the harm that they do to themselves. In certain circumstances, money can hurt an individual. For most of it, it puts us in a better position. It improves our quality of life. For certain people, money is actually more harmful. So this family that had $1 million at one point in their lifetime due to lawsuits, nursing home cost care, and basically just poor planning, was only able to leave $52,000 to their children.
Wow. And, you know, you said something interesting about halfway through there. You said, you know, the conflict that happens, and there's conflict that happens certainly, you know, maybe when a plan has been done, but I can only imagine the conflict. And most people don't think there's going to be a conflict, do they, Blake, with their own family?
And the truth is, you never know which plans are going to be. There's going to be a conflict. There have been certain plans which I was very confident there was going to be a conflict, where it looked like there was going to be a conflict even up until shortly after the death. And the probate went very smoothly. There have been other plans where the family got along great. Parents and stepchildren who loved each other dearly, that relationship quickly falls apart. I've even seen a mother sue her own son due to some probate-related issues. You never know which is going to be the problem planned. You can't do anything to absolutely prevent it, but there's a lot you can do to minimize the risk associated with your estate being contested, which is what family number two did, plan B, family B. And let's talk about how they planned and how they compare and how things shook out for them by putting together
an
estate plan. So once again, similar story, family B, they've got $1 million. They own their own business. They've got a rental property, three children as well. Just like the first family, they also find out you're being sued for $1 million. Well, the first thing that this family thinks is, we are so glad we contacted Blake Harris and put together an asset protection trust a while ago, because they had much more peace of mind over their assets. They knew that they were still going to have to defend the lawsuit. They knew that they'd probably end up needing to pay some type of settlement. But because they did planning in advance of the lawsuit, because they had kept control of the property throughout this entire process, they were able to, instead of settling for $500,000 like the first family, they were able to settle for just $100,000. So the lawsuit passes. There was an issue that arose. Maybe it was due to something with the real estate ownership or something running a business, or again, a very common one, children driving the parents' cars. They did get sued. They were not nearly as stressed over the lawsuit, and they made away with keeping $900,000 as opposed to only $500,000, like we saw in the first example. Next, as the family got older, they lost capacity, but the parents had put together all their incapacity documents. Mom and dad signed a financial power of attorney, a medical power of attorney, a HIPAA authorization, as well as a living will, or as it's called in Colorado, a declaration as to medical or surgical treatment. With these documents, the family was able to avoid the need for a guardianship and conservatorship proceeding. There was a clear outline of what the parents' wishes and goals were. There was no room for the children to fight or argue over it. And when they become incapacitated, they didn't have to spend any money on court fees or a court battle, saving them, compared to the previous family, $100,000.
That'll work.
That will work.
Yes, sir.
That's the best deal in the world of estate planning. Clients called me because they want the trust, or sometimes because they want the will. My opinion, the incapacity documents are possibly the most important, and incapacity documents are important whether you've got a grandparent who's 90 and living in a nursing home, or you have a child that just turned 18 and is going off to school here soon. Making sure that the people you want to control your financial and medical decisions can do so without getting the court involved. So moving along and getting older now, the parents have lost capacity. It's time for them to move into a long-term care facility. Again, this family did a good job of planning. So instead of needing to pay out of pocket each month for the long-term care, they had their assets secured inside of a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, a vehicle for reducing long-term care and nursing home costs. The government Medicaid, which they've been paying into their entire life, paid for their long-term care, and they ended up coming out of pocket a total of $0 for the long-term care expense. That right there is a real gem in the estate planning world, the ability to eliminate long-term care costs. If you have the money and are appropriate to buy long-term care insurance, you may want to buy it. I don't sell any insurance of any type, but I do think that is a good gift. If you don't have long-term care insurance, then putting together a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust could be an excellent tool for your family. Mom and dad eventually pass away. The assets are all held inside of a trust. There's no need to open a probate after they pass away. They still have the same three profiles, or the children have the same profile as the parents, as the children, the first example. The first individual is on Medicaid. The second one has a marriage that's on the rocks, and the third one has some substance abuse issues. For the first child, instead of dumping all that money on them as soon as the parents pass away, the money is going to be held inside of a special needs trust. And this is what a special needs trust says. These are rather complex documents, but I can explain it in terms that are very simple. Anything the trust says this, anything the government is paying for, the trust isn't going to pay for. So instead of that $300,000 needing to be spent down, the trust is able to give to the child in ways that the government is not providing for them. So that child is able to maintain their standard of living and continue to receive their inheritance. And then when that child passes away, Medicaid, the state, is not going to come back and recover those funds. those funds are then passed down to that child's children or to the other descendants of our clients. So child one, $300,000 is left for child one. There's $300,000 that's there for child one benefits. Child number two, and this is something that my clients who are been through a divorce are very excited to give this feature to the children. Child two gets their trust. We let them manage their trust as well because they're financially responsible. Their health is not going to cause any issue with government benefits. But child two, we don't have that money distributed outright to them. We just have that money held in trust. Mm-hmm. So they can manage the trust. They can choose who the trustee is. They can ultimately get a distribution anytime they want to, but the money isn't forced onto them. That way, when child two's spouse files for divorce or child two themselves files for divorce, that asset that they received, their inheritance, is not a marital asset. It's not available to be taken by a divorced spouse. Child two, instead of splitting their inheritance with their soon-to-be ex, gets to keep all $300,000 for themselves. And then child three, we set up a similar trust as well so that the money is held in trust. It's not given directly into the pocket of somebody who could blow it inappropriately. The money is managed by an independent trustee. We don't let a child who has substance abuse manage their own trust. And then that child, anytime that they're clean, anytime that they're pursuing good activities and not spending the money on drugs or alcohol, can benefit from that trust. So what's the total of that? $300,000 plus $300,000 plus $300,000. That comes out to about $900,000 that this family was able to pass down to their children.
Right.
This gives, if we compare the two, the first family was able to pass $52,000. The second family was able to pass $848,000. The second family was able to, first family was $52,000. Second family was $900,000. This is a difference of $848,000. I get asked often, how much does an estate plan cost? Well, the real question is, or what you should really be concerned about is, how much does it cost to not have an estate plan?
Right,
because it's not going to, because having an estate plan is not going to cost you $840,000.
Absolutely, and you know, most people are always looking around. Hey, what's a great investment I can make? Here's one, right?
it's a lot of people right now are paying more and more attention to their investments. It's almost as if 2021 was the. Twenty was a year that people paid attention to their home. A lot of people purchased a home. A lot of people got a new interior designer. A lot of people took care of their lawn and got the home gym. And then I've seen this trend in 2021 where people now are paying attention to their investments. And I tell my friends, well, if you are concerned about your investments, let's talk about asset protection. It's a tool that, honestly, I hope you never use, mm-hmm. but if you do use it, it very well could be the best investment that you ever make. Another investment, and I know that I've mentioned it on the show, and I'm going to be mentioning it on the show more and more in the coming months, because you're going to hear more and more about it, is cryptocurrency. It is becoming more and more mainstream. Everybody's hearing about it more and more. Soon enough, I suspect the U.S. government is going to transfer us over to a cryptocurrency. I am not, for anyone listening, I'm not making any recommendations that people go out and buy any cryptocurrency. I'm not recommending against it either. But I do recommend very strongly that you educate yourself on it. For starters, you can go to my website, milehighestateplanning.com. We have a few articles on cryptocurrency, some videos as well, where we talk about cryptocurrency, blockchain technology, Bitcoin. This is the way of the future, and those who pay attention to it, those who understand it, will be well prepared for the future. Those who don't, and I hear this often from clients, because I ask every client, do you have any cryptocurrency? Most of them are saying no. Lots of them are saying yes, but the majority are still saying no. When I ask why not, their answer over and over is because I don't understand it. To which I say, get to understand it, learn about it, pay attention to it. It's very much the way of the future.
Yes, absolutely. Once again, if you're just joining us, Attorney Blake Harris is with us. This is Mile High Estate Planning, as Blake just mentioned. Check out his website. Also, real quick, Blake, let's mention your book there, The Ultimate Guide to Estate Planning and Asset Protection.
Yes, absolutely. You can go online to milehighestateplanning.com, or if you want to just send me an email, blake@milehighestateplanning.com. Happy to share with you a free copy of this of the book that I published last year. Paints a very full picture of everything you need to know about estate planning, outlines all of your options when it comes to putting together an estate plan, from whether you need just a simple will-based plan or you need some very complex type of planning as well. Also, something I want to mention is now that it's the year 2021 and we have a new administration, it's looking like there's going to be some changes to the estate tax. Previously, the estate tax was high enough that very few individuals needed to do any planning. Under the proposed administration, the estate tax is likely going under the new administration's proposal, the estate tax is likely going to come down significantly, meaning if you have just even a few million dollars in assets, you'd be wise to speak with an attorney. Going back to the comment on cryptocurrency, one more thing that I wanted to mention was there's a very my number one advice with cryptocurrency, blockchain technology, educate yourself. The number one myth surrounding cryptocurrency and blockchain technology is that it is anonymous. There is some component of anonymity to it. However, if you are subpoenaed, you are required to report to the court what your assets holdings are, and failure to report cryptocurrency can land you in jail. So what you want to do is be able to report that you have the cryptocurrency, but you want to be able to say that you hold it inside of a protected trust, which is not going to, number one, prevent you from receiving Medicaid, and number two, it's not going to be able to be lost in a lawsuit. A court can subpoena a online wallet and an online wallet or an online exchange, and if they do so and you haven't reported your cryptocurrency, you could face criminal sanctions. So what I say is educate yourself. If you do decide it is an appropriate investment, then give my office a call and let's talk about how you can protect that asset.
Absolutely. And, you know, Blake, you mentioned trust, and you explained it very quickly and very briefly, but how many people do you sit down with that, you know, had the wrong idea about even what a trust was about or just didn't fully understand it? Maybe that's a better way to ask you the question. They just didn't really understand what really a trust was all about and how many different types there are.
So one question that I ask some clients when they come into my office is, have you done any education? Have you done any research on estate planning? And when their client responds, not really, or just honestly with a no, my next comment is, good, I don't have to unteach you anything, because there's a lot of bad information out there, a lot of incorrect information that is being circulated when it comes to estate planning. So the first thing to understand is the basic difference between a will and a trust. A will allows you to do two things. Number one, it allows you to name a guardian for any minor children. So if you just had your first child or have one on the way, give my office a call. Let's make sure that we can nominate a guardian for your child. I'm sure that you have a family member that you'd be comfortable with raising your children if you were not able to. And I suspect, like most families, there may be another family member who you're not real excited about raising your minor children. So we want to make sure your wishes are outlined in your last will and testament. Last will can also transfer property to the individuals you've selected. However, a will is a ticket to the probate court. A trust, on the other hand, can do everything that a will can do. It can nominate a guardian. It can select who receives a property. But a trust can do a lot more for individuals, such as, number one, avoid probate. Mm-hmm. Other things that trust can do is help you qualify for benefits to pay for your long-term care, protect your property from lawsuits, reduce your estate taxes. Every individual can have just one will. You get one will. If you make a new will, your old one goes in the trash. But you can have multiple trusts. And in different circumstances, clients will set up multiple trusts for various different reasons. So the basic estate plan includes, number one, a will. Number two, at least one trust, a revocable living trust, and in some cases, more than that. And then number three, a complete set of incapacity or power of attorney documents. This includes a financial, medical power of attorney, a HIPAA authorization, and a living will.
And you know, one thing, Blake, I want you to admit, I want to talk about here before we in today's segment is you offer free lifetime reviews, and I think that's, you know, crucial for your clients as well.
Yes, yes. I believe that we offer a very good value for our clients. It starts with a free initial consultation. We can get you, we can do it by phone call, we can do it by Zoom call, or if you'd like, more than happy to have you into our office. We've got beautiful office space in downtown Denver with Union Station, with free parking next door. We're right next to Union Station. But most of our clients are choosing to meet by phone or Zoom call. At the end of that initial meeting, we'll quote you a price for your plan. You'll know exactly what you're going to pay. You're not going to be surprised by anything that comes up down the road. After the plan is created and everything has been signed, your client gets another 30 days to review, reconsider their plan, make any additional changes, no charge. If there's more changes needed more than 30 days afterwards, we charge a nominal fee for those updates and amendments. However, we give free lifetime reviews for our clients, which means if you create an estate plan with us and you have a few questions for us 6 months down the road or 10 years down the road, you pick up the phone, you give us a call. There's never any charge for clients who want to discuss their estate plan. Our goal is to keep your estate plan in line with your goals. And the more the clients are communicating with us, the more likely we're able to make that happen.
The number is 833-ASK-BLAKE, and again, that's 833-ASK-BLAKE. It's milehighestateplanning.com, and as Blake mentioned, you can reach him there by email, blake@milehighestateplanning.com. And Blake, it's also a free consultation, initial consultation. Hey, if somebody hears you today and, boy, they say, boy, I just got a couple of questions, then make an appointment with you, you welcome that as well, sir.
Yes, absolutely. It is always a free initial consultation. I do have one last thing to tell the listeners today. If you're considering starting the estate planning process, do me a favor, go online and do this. Google Mile High Estate Planning and read the reviews. We can talk about how great we are or how we do nothing but this type of work, but I think our clients' communication, I think our clients' word says it the most. We've got over 60 Google reviews. Every single one, as of now, is a 5 out of 5 stars. Go online, read some of the countless number of glowing reviews from current and former clients.
All right. And, Blake, I have done that, and, boy, it is very insightful to see how the customers explain their work with you. And, boy, all of them very happy and all 5-star reviews. So we appreciate your time today, and we look forward to our next visit, sir.
Scott, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to giving some more good information to your listeners in the future, and hope some of them will give us a call to help with their planning.
All right, sir. Again, you've been listening to Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris of Mile High Estate Planning. Once again, the number 833-ASK-BLAKE. We've got to take a short break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio.
Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
This is 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. Glad you are with us. If you're just joining us, Chris Kane is in studio with us. 303 Roofer. Give him a call. 303-390-1382. We're going to talk about roofing now a little bit and the whole thing with insurance, how to handle it. You know, who should you call first? Do you call Chris first? Do you call your insurance company first? Let's figure all that out. So, Chris, we think we got some hail damage. What do we do?
Yeah, so if you think you have hail damage, what you really should do is confirm that you have it. You know, if you know, if you're smart enough to know what hail looks like, which is not difficult. I mean, it's very clear if you have strikes on the shingle, you have hail damage. Now, how it typically works in the industry is that if you have 10 or more strikes within a 10 by 10 area, that is enough for an insurance company to what we call buy the roof, basically have a claim and pay you to have your roof replaced. It's important to know what kind of insurance you have, what kind of coverage you have, what your deductible is.
And do you find most people really don't know what the policy says?
They don't know. They don't know how to read a policy. And so, we can help with all of that. We can help, and anyone can. So we're no different than anyone else in that case, right? So how we are different is that we just offer a cash bid. This is what we will charge you, whether you have an insurance claim or not. We will certainly work with the insurance company on your behalf if you would like us to. A lot of people just want you to say, look, help me with everything, and we can certainly do that. Some people, would rather, just say, I want a cash bid. I want to compare apples to apples. Insurance pays very well. There's a lot of money in the roofing business, it's a very nice business to be in because you're in and out of a job in a day in most cases. So they don't drag on. You can see exactly, what you're getting when it's done and that, if it's clean when it's done. Those are two of the most important things in my opinion, as well as, the quality. But no one knows the quality until the next rainstorm or the next snowstorm, when your roof could be potentially compromised by being wet, and so you just don't know. But what we offer, and I would recommend this for everyone, just ask for cash bids, whether you have an insurance claim or not. Now, with that being said, you've told the company, whether it's us or someone else, that you want a cash bid. If you have an insurance claim and insurance has agreed to that and they've given you your claim and they'll send you an email with what the claim is and what they're willing to pay for, you should still share that with your roofer. That way the roofer knows exactly what is the insurance company going to pay for, because a lot of times there's things that have been left out. And what we can do at that point is go back to insurance on your behalf, or you can do it on your own behalf, and ask for whatever it might be. you know, in the last roof we did with your pastor, there was a broken shutter, and they did not pay for that. And there was not only one was fine, but the other one was broken, but they only sell them in twos. So, right. And it would look kind of silly because of the paint color. It would have been a little bit off with fading. So we got them new shutters. We went back and it's called a supplement, asked for more money, basically, you know, for shutters. And then they had done what their takeoff is. So when they measured the roof, they were 3 squares short on how we measured the roof. And we went back to them and said, we need 3 more squares. So all in, that's another $2,000 that went directly to the pastor that he could put into his pocket. Not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal.
Yeah, because we already gave him, you know, here's our price. We're including, you know, the cost of the shutter, and we're including, you know, what our takeoff is. But here's our cash bid is what we gave them. You know, at the end of the day, you know, really that money is yours. Mm-hmm. You know, you pay insurance every single month. If insurance pays you back, that is your money. You know, you can do with that what you want. A lot of people don't understand that you don't even have to get your roof replaced. I would recommend you do, right. Not only because I'm a roofer, obviously, but if you don't, what's going to happen, you know, your roof might be fine. Just because you have hail damage does not mean that your roof is failing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it will, but not always. When you decide you want to do a roof, you should pay cash, and there's nothing wrong with keeping the difference. It's your money. Some other roofers will say, well, that's insurance fraud. No, it's not. It's 100% absolutely not insurance fraud. It is if you decide to lie to your insurance company.
Right.
But insurance is willing to pay you a certain amount of money. That's your money. Then you decide who you want to hire and how much you want to pay to get that done, even if it includes doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you do it yourself, you get to keep that money. If you hire someone else that's going to charge you less, you get to keep that money. If you hire someone that's going to charge you more, you get to pay that money. But it's your choice, and you should always remember that. It's really, and don't, you know, don't lie, right?
Sure.
You know, tell the truth, don't lie. Right. You know, pretty easy things to do. So if you just stick with that, you're going to be just fine.
Now, if I tell you I want a cash price, mm-hmm. that means when we're done with the job, you don't want me handing you my American Express.
That's a okay. That's a real good point too. Yeah, cash is cash,
yeah.
Right? Because American Express costs us money.
Exactly.
So the way we do things, like here's our cash price, here's our credit card price, and here's our finance price if you decide you want to finance through us. And so, and actually, I should say it's in the opposite. Here's our financing price, and then here's a discounted rate if you use a credit card, and then here's another discounted rate if you decide to pay with cash or check.
Right.
So then you can decide what you want to do at the end of the day. That is a good point. Really, from there, though, if we charge you less, you get to keep more money. You do have to understand, you know, how to, you know, what is insurance going to pay you, right? Mm-hmm. So that they typically, and most policies, and it's, I would recommend, you know, if you don't know, it's not a bad idea to check with your agent and just ask you, you know, what is my deductible? You know, and you can ask for several different things, but, you know, for a roof, it's, you know, that tends to be the most common insurance claim for homeowners. You know, could be siding, you know, it could be water damage from a mainline break. You know, that's nothing that we do in that case. You know, but let's just stick, I guess, to roofing for right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big expense. So you should probably understand, you know, what is my deductible, because your insurance company will not pay for your deductible.
Right.
That is on you. A lot of companies and roofing companies will say, well, I'll tell you what, we'll waive the deductible. So if it's a $20,000 roof and that's what insurance is willing to pay you, you're only going to get a check at the end of the day for $19,000 if you have a $1,000 deductible. If the insurance or if the roofing company decides that, you know, we'll do this job for $19,000 because we're going to waive your deductible, you know, that comes into insurance fraud. Now, if they say that our price is $19,000, that's our cash price, well, that's different. Mm-hmm. So from there, though, what happens, some insurance companies will say, well, we're only going to pay you what, okay, there's two checks. Let me start with that.
Yeah.
There's replacement cost value, and then there's actual cost value. So most insurance companies will write you a check up front for actual cash value. So let's just say that you know, you're going to get $18,400
okay.
in actual cash value because you have an $1,800 in depreciation, $1,000 in deductible. Just using, we're just trying to use some numbers, right? Mm-hmm. That might not add up at this particular moment, let's just say. You're going to get that first check. You can do with that check what you want. To get the second check, so in order to get your depreciation money back, you then have to show your insurance company that the roof has been completed. And whether you do that yourself or whether you hire a company, whether you send pictures or whether you send an invoice, at that point in time, then they send you the second check. And that's how you get the you get the full amount less your depreciation. Always talking numbers, it can get a little confusing.
No, I understand.
So maybe we can just go specifically talking with the pastor. You mm-hmm. know, this was and it was a great job. I mean, we made good money on this, and he was able to put some money in his pocket.
Yeah,
and there again,
win-win.
There's nothing wrong with anything that we did, but their full claim was for $20,200. All right, they did have an $1,800 in depreciation. They were to get that back once they actually replaced the roof. They had $1,000 as a deductible. They do not get that back. All right, so that's where they got that check for $18,400. The first check actually came in at $17,400 because it was less $1,000 in their depreciation. Our bill to them was $14,600. This is our cash price for us to do the job. And not only that, we gave them an upgraded shingle for that. So they went to a Class 4 impact-resistant shingle. It's the best you can get in an asphalt shingle. It looks the same as everything else. It's just a little stronger or a lot stronger. It's a great shingle. So initially, right off the bat, they were able to put $2,800 in their pocket. Plus, when they got the second check, they got the $1,800 in depreciation. Plus, they got the $2,000 that we supplemented because the size of the roof was 3 squares smaller than what we had measured it and put on, and plus the shutters. So, you know, that's $6,600 they put in their pocket. Now, not everybody is like that. You know, and it does depend on what your deductible is. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of it because insurance is not going to pay for what your deductible is. Yeah. A lot of deductibles are $1,000. Some are $500. Some are $2,000. Some are $5,000. Some are a percentage of the home. So, you know, it varies. So it's important to know what you have. Mm-hmm. That's really important. But there's you know, this is a straight up cash bid. Again, they could have done it themselves and they could have just paid for the material and they would have, you know, they could have paid themselves back for labor. You know, their insurance company just wanted to see that the roof was done. Mm-hmm. They took pictures and they sent it to their insurance company. Insurance sent them the second check. You know, that's a significant amount of money that you can put in your pocket.
Absolutely.
And we still made good money on this. Mm-hmm. And I want them to tell their neighbors and their friends and their relatives what a great company we are. You know, we want those referrals. You know, sure. We started out as a referral company. We want to continue getting referrals.
Absolutely. Chris Kane is our guest. We are talking about 303 Roofer. His number, 303-390-1382. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, Jack Corrigan for Len Lyle Chevrolet. Len Lyle Chevrolet is open and safe. It's truck month, and they have the best deals of the year on all trucks and SUVs, like up to $10,000 off on half-ton Silverados. Or come check out the all-new Tahoes and Suburbans for 2021. Len Lyle has been there for 35 years, and low overhead really does mean low prices. Check them out on the web, LenLyleChevy.com. Go east and pay the least. Chevy. Find new roads.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are. What are their feelings? I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group. 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the show. We are glad you are with us. Well, glad to have in studio Lucas Watson. Lucas is one of the new owners of the Meat Cleaver Game Processing Plant that has been in Denver since 1976. And Lucas, first of all, welcome. How are you?
Yes, sir. Good. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again.
Glad to be here.
Lucas has been with us on our Sportsman of Colorado show before, but I wanted to get him here on Haystack as well to just make you familiar with all they have to offer. So, man, since 1976. Now, that's way before you were born.
Yes, sir. I haven't been around quite that long.
That's when I graduated from high school. Now, I graduated from high school in 76, so that's when y'all started. So that has been a long time, man, no doubt.
A lot of years of cutting meat.
Absolutely. But they're located at 5334 Tennyson in Denver, and just a long time, great, outstanding company, great reputation, and of course, as I mentioned in the name, it's been game processing for these number of years. But Lucas, you and your new ownership team have said, hey, during this COVID thing, man, what a great time. All of us have had to pivot in what we've got going on. And a lot of other places are just closed down during this time. And you thought, hey, why not keep our people at work and provide a good service for some of our ranchers?
Absolutely. Well, the epitome of a wild game processor is the seasonality, right? A ton of work in the fall and no work in the spring and summer. So our hope was to really improve our quality of our product, be able to carry a full-time staff year-round, and provide a service to the farmers and ranchers here in Colorado. So, yes, sir, we opened for beef processing this February, and we have a strong start. It's going well.
Okay. So now, people think of beef processing, and most of them just think about, oh, I get that at the grocery store. But you know what? Hey, there's ranchers out there that provide all this for us, and this is a service that you can offer, and we'll kind of go through some of the details. But first of all, if you're a rancher out there or you know some and they need some help maybe in some of these services we're going to talk about today, be sure and have them get in touch with the Meat Cleaver. Now, so it's within a two-hour drive from your plant, right, that you can service ranchers?
That is correct. So we run a mobile slaughter unit. And that two-hour time radius you're referring to refers to the area we can serve. So really from North Denver here, that's a healthy chunk of Colorado. And what we'll do is we'll get in touch with a producer and a rancher, and they'll have a customer lined up and some cattle lined up for us. And we'll go out there and slaughter on site, bring that carcass back to the shop for a two-week hang and build a customer, the end customer, a cut list. So most of the times producers have folks lined up that they kind of historically sell to, but we have folks reach out to the shop all the time asking to buy a quarter or a half, and it's our pleasure to put them in touch with producers.
Okay, so now let's kind of go through the process a little bit. When you hang it for 2 weeks,
yes,
we've all heard the term aged beef. I mean, but I don't know if any of us really know what age means. Is there a certain number of days where then you have to hang it to put that stamp of aged on it? Or
yeah,
what's kind of the definition there?
That's a great question. And this is something that, we deal with in the wild, around the conversations of wild game as well. the idea with hanging meat is essentially controlled decomposition. So our coolers are running at about 36 degrees, and they will year round. But when meat hangs in that environment after it's slaughtered, whether that's beef or wild, right, an elk or a deer, it'll have time to relax and start to decompose in a cooler, right? I mean, just think about a big refrigerator. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. What this helps do is relax the meat and tenderize it and add flavor. On the outside of the meat, kind of a dry shell develops. That helps protect the meat from the bacteria growth and water and things like that.
Okay.
That will be trimmed off in the cutting process itself. But the idea is the longer you hang an animal, yes, the more tender, the more flavorful it will become. Also, typically, the lower the yield will be because you have to trim some more goodies off. But our standard hang, and this is very industry standard, of 2 weeks for beef. And wild game, it kind of varies on how busy we are. But That two-week hang is considered aged beef, and that helps with flavor and tenderness quite a bit.
Okay. Now, when you somebody says, okay, I got a 300-pound cow, you know, I mean, what, how much meat? Because I think on a wild game, some guys, you know, they shoot an elk, and they think, oh, I'm going to get 400 pounds. But, you know what I mean? I mean, kind of walk through of the yield that you're talking about.
That's a great question, and this really comes back to a lot of the conversations we have around with customers with expectations and transparency in our process, right? So when if we just take a look at beef, and all these numbers are very standard. If you ask any butcher shop, they're going to give you a very similar answer. But kind of the rough numbers to it are hoof to hanging weight. So we talk about a beef on the hoof, alive, live weight, to hanging. That is skinned, gutted, hooved, head off, just the meat on a hook,
right.
Bone in. Hoof to hanging, that is a 60% yield, and then typically hanging to final package, that has a little more variability depending on if you're doing bone-in cuts, depending on if you're throwing things like organs or soup bones in there. But a standard cut's going to run you another 60% yield from hanging to final package weight there.
Okay. Lucas Watson is with us, and once again, we were talking about the Meat Cleaver. You can check out their website, meatcleavergameprocessing.com. And once again, they've been doing this since 1976, and they're located at 5334 Tennyson. Now, I was asking you kind of before the show today, do most people have an idea what they want? And it's, I guess it's 50-50. I mean, most people that the ranchers and all that come in and want you to slaughter some of their cattle, they usually have an idea, but then there's some people that don't. So how do you guys kind of educate people on, you know, just giving them some choices of what all you can offer?
Absolutely. And, you know, our, going back to our just base philosophy, at our core, we're in the food stewardship business, right? And so it is our job to give the end customer a product that they're going to use effectively and wisely for the benefit of their health and their family's health, right? And if we give an end customer something that they don't understand how to cook or maybe are intimidated to cook, we're really not providing them a service. So I think having conversations around food is really important and really a joy to have with customers. To answer your question, you know, lots of producers will have historic customers who buy a side of beef every year, and they have a very good idea of what they order year after year. Now, we do have a demographic who reaches out to us who is very curious about buying beef in bulk. That's something they've never done before. They really enjoy the idea of farm to table, right? we do that process from, you know, the cow standing in the rancher's field to a package in your freezer. And so we have a lot of curiosity from folks who haven't historically bought beef in bulk. And those are always very fun conversations to have to bring people into that and build them a cut list of product that that they're going to have a lot of comfort approaching and understand their food process.
Right. Now, we'll delve into a little bit and come back to this the beef side, but with your wild game, what are some of the specialty products that you guys kind of offer?
That's a good question. I was just talking with the guys at the shop about this morning, about what this next fall is going to look like. Right, so we hit kind of all the basics you would expect at a wild game shop. We have a great selection of fresh sausages. We can do those in bulk or link style. We have some cooked sausages, including summer sausage, Polish, pepperoni, salami. We can add jalapeno and cheese to any of our products as well. So
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I know, right? It's hard to beat, you know, for sure. We also do some jerkies and snack sticks along with those things. And but yeah, we were just brainstorming this morning in the office what we're going to add to the menu, something new and fun. With the beef processing, we've added jalapeno and cheese hamburger, kind of a basic spice mix, cut a little bit of pork fat in there, and jalapeno and cheese hamburgers, man, they make some juicy good hamburgers. So
right.
We'll see what we can come up with for this next fall, but yeah, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so let's kind of talk about the process. I mean, someone calls you, you know, let's say a rancher, and they want you to come out. I know depending on your schedule, but usually you can get out during that week and take care of that?
That's a great question. You know, if we take a look at kind of the beef market right now and what it looks like to get animals into process, folks are having a real tough time, and the market needs some more cutters. And so that was really our goal of getting into it this season. And We have a fairly open calendar. I think we have a couple more days in August we need to book up. But when it comes from now until August, we can squeeze just about anyone in.
Okay.
As we're increasing capacity.
So you head out to the ranch, and sorry for all the PETA lovers out there. You got to realize animals get slaughtered to be in your grocery store, okay? And so you go out to the rancher, you take care of the extinction out there, right?
That's right. Well, I'd love to speak to that just a little bit. I like how you brought up kind of
animal lovers.
a question of humaneness, right?
Yeah.
And I really think that we've seen the benefits of farm kill, right? We have an animal who is in an environment that they're comfortable in, that they're familiar with, that they're mm-hmm. relaxed in. You know, even when we transport beef to a slaughterhouse, for say, putting them in a stock trailer, bringing them to an environment they're not familiar with.
They know they're not going for, you're not taking them for a ride.
I know, they're not going for a joyride.
Yeah.
But, to have an animal on the farm, kind of in its familiar environment, we've noticed, slaughter goes very smoothly for us. And, we really like connecting the dots, directly from the farm to the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very rewarding process for us. So,
right.
If anyone has, some ethical questions about beef, give us a call and we can put them in touch with the guy who raises their beef,
Yeah.
So very rewarding process, I think, for everybody.
Sure. All right. So you take care of that there. You get it back to shop. You just mentioned you hang it 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
And so what are we looking like? Normally like 3 weeks in total turnaround time?
Yeah, it depends on if we do any specialty product, but tops, we'll have everything done in 3 weeks and ready for hard frozen and ready to be picked up. And a fun thing that we do that I think sets us apart, if I'm allowed to brag on the meat cleaver.
Of course. What you're here for.
All of our product comes vac sealed, and we box it up and hard freeze it before it gets into the customer's hands. And I know that's important for a lot of producers as we share stewardship with the same customers, right? We want to give them a high quality, visually appealing final product. And I think our customers and producers have been very happy with that.
Right. Well, you guys have got an outstanding reputation, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau as well. And, again, been doing this since 1976. Not many companies can say that. And so this is available Monday through Friday from 8 to 4. And, once again, they are located at 5334 Tennyson. And check out their website. It's meatcleavergameprocessing.com. And another great thing I like there when I looked at that this morning is people can kind of go on and kind of print out a menu, so to speak, of things you offer. So that may help as you come in then with your animals, and whether we're talking about big game processing or the beef, and kind of gives them an idea of what you offer, the prices, and how to do it all, and that helps both of you, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Any questions you guys have, find them on our website, or don't hesitate to reach out, and me, Nick, or Haley will answer the phone and touch base with you.
Alrighty. The number is 303-458-7563. That's 303-458-7563. MeatCleaverGameProcessing.com. So, Lucas, always good to see you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you.
I want to thank you all for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.